Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Just a background piece on our reading today. Esther was an orphan. She was raised by her cousin by the name of Mordecai. And she eventually, even though it's sort of a rag-to-riches story at the beginning, she becomes queen of Persia. And there comes a time when the Jewish people are persecuted. And Mordecai asks her as queen to intervene with the king to help the people, to save her people. And this is the reading. Hattach is just a messenger. Hattach came back and told Esther everything Mordecai had said. Esther talked it over with Hattach and then sent him back to Mordecai with this message. Everyone who works for the king here, and even people out in the provinces, know that there is a single fate for every man or woman who approaches the king without being invited. And that, what that is death. The one exception is if the king extends his golden scepter, then he or she may live. And it's been 30 days now since I've been invited to come into the presence of the king. When Hattach told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai sent her this message. Don't think just because you live in the king's house, you're the one Jew who will get out alive. Don't think your silence is going to save you. If you persist in staying silent in a time like this, help and deliverance will arrive for the Jews from some other place, but you and your family will be wiped out. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for just such a time as this. Esther sent her answer to Mordecai. Go and get all the Jews living in Susa together. Fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, either day or night. And my maids and I will fast just like you. If you do this, I will go into the king, even though it's forbidden. And if I die, I die. And Mordecai left and carried out Esther's instructions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Have you seen the movie Wonder Woman? How many have seen the movie Wonder Woman? Very good, very good. My grandchildren, my granddaughters, told me it was awesome, so I saw it. It was good, it was good. But you know, Wonder Women aren't just on the big screen. They're also found in the scriptures. And this summer, we're looking at some of those women. Last week, we looked at Ruth and Naomi, a very powerful, moving story. And today, we turn to Esther in the Old Testament. Esther is mentioned more than any other woman in the Bible. Did you know that? She's mentioned some 55 different times. In Hebrew, her name is Hadassah, which actually means myrtle. And I don't think we have myrtle up this way, but if you get down around Baltimore, you'll find it's a bush with a very pretty flower. It's a nice, nice flower. Her Jewish name, or her Persian name, is Esther. And Esther means star. And this is a woman of star quality. She's very attractive, both inside and out. She's sort of the Jennifer Lawrence or Gal Gadot of her day. And just for those who are looking very puzzled, Gal Gadot is the new Wonder Woman. And fittingly enough, she's an Israeli. So now, our Jewish friends celebrate the story of Esther at their holiday of Purim. And the drama is acted out then. One very witty rabbi said that Jewish holidays have three parts. And they go like this. They tried to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. And that fits Purim pretty well. Esther lived about 500 BC at a time when Israel was part of the Persian Empire. And she became the wife of Xerxes the king. Again, she was a very attractive woman. There's one thing she didn't tell anybody. She had a secret, and that was that she was Jewish. Not even the king knew her background or her nationality. Now, everything went well until a man by the name of Haman came to office, and he was a very vicious anti-Semite. He wanted to just wipe out, commit genocide for the Jewish people. Didn't want any surviving whatsoever. And he introduced a very harsh program of persecution. And in that situation, Mordecai now, the cousin who had raised Esther, appealed to her to use her position to save her people. And she said, you know, if you go into the king's room without being invited, the penalty is death. There's only one exception to that. That's if he puts out his golden scepter, then your life is spared. And at this, Mordecai answers back and says, don't think your silence is going to save you. And he adds this, a very thought-provoking sentence. Who knows? Perhaps God has made you queen for just a moment as this. Now, most of us are not royalty. Yet Queen Esther is a very human character. And I wonder what she has to say to our lives today. What do you think? One thing that strikes me about Esther is that after an initial hesitation, an initial fear, she does act. She becomes involved. She makes that decision. And I remember an old Garfield cartoon from the Sunday papers. And you know, Garfield is the cat, and he's sitting back in a nice warm room, nice chair in the living room, and it's winter time, and he's looking out the window, and there's Odie the dog. Odie the dog is slobbering like dogs do, and it's obvious he's freezing out there. He really wants to come in. And Garfield the cat says, oh, poor Odie. Outside in this weather, I've really got to do something. And Garfield the cat gets up, goes over to the window, and closes the curtain. And I think that's a picture of what can happen. Sometimes, you know, as we hear the news, the world is in such a mess. Our senses are just overcharged. And the easy thing is just to close the window, to pull the curtain. Esther made a decision. Again, after hesitation, but she made the decision to become involved, to do the right thing. And you know, this church has a heritage to live up to. Because you know the story. Back in 1937, when the Bunds wanted to set up a training camp here, it was Reverend Lindsay and this church that said no. There were German sympathizer camps, Bund camps in New Jersey and Long Island and a lot of communities. They were the camps for hate. And this church had the guts, really under intimidation and everything, to say no. And the community stood by too. It said no. And it's interesting, in the church's anniversary booklet, this is what it says about the church's values. And I think they were also Esther's values. The refusal to condone groups that promote hate. Courage when faced with attempted intimidation. You know, the Bund was saying, hey, the values of your land will go up if we're here. Everybody will do well. And there were people who were strong sympathizers and very anti-Semitic around. Prompt action to address a pressing need and standing up for what is right. That's Esther. Standing up in a time when her people were in danger of being wiped out. That's this church and the minister of your church back in 1937. That's something for us to live up to today. L.A. Weissel, the Jewish writer, said something that I found very thought-provoking. He said, if you don't think of yourself, who's going to think of yourself for you? But if you only think of yourself, what are you? If you only think of yourself, what are you? Esther didn't just think of herself and her own well-being, she thought of others. Okay? She did the right thing, and I think that's an example for us all. There's something else about this woman, and that is her courage. Again, she hesitates at first. It could mean death, walking into that king's chamber uninvited. You can imagine how you would feel in her situation. And yet she has the courage to act. And courage is something we all need in our lives, regardless of our situation. Someone said, courage is just fear that said its prayers. And one example that strikes me is Eleanor Roosevelt. Have you ever been up to Hyde Park? And the Roosevelt homes up there, there's the big home, the Roosevelt home, and then there's Eleanor's little cottage, which is maybe a mile or so away. And I actually heard Eleanor Roosevelt speak. I'm that old, when I was back in college. And she walked right by me up to the platform. But, you know, think of her background. In many ways, a privileged background, but she was raised by a very stern grandmother, not much love there. Then she got married at an early age. There were very few opportunities for women in those days. And then her mother-in-law was very domineering. And it's interesting, if you go to the Roosevelt house and go to the bedroom of Franklin and Eleanor, what's the room right next door to it? Eleanor's mother-in-law's bedroom. It's not much wonder she never felt at home in that house. But just think what this woman had to overcome. She's been pressed down all her childhood, all her youth. And yet, she becomes a woman who stands up for the shell-shocked veterans after World War I, when they were treated just like animals and brushed under the rug. The curtain was down. Nobody wanted to see that. She came along and stood up for those people. In the United Nations, she faced down the Russians. She stood up for the refugees. But what she had to do to be able to do that was to overcome her own feeling, I'm inadequate. I can't do it. I'm just not up to it. She had the courage to break through that feeling, I'm just not up to things. And I've liked her statement on courage. This is what she said about courage. Courage is more exhilarating than fear, and in the long run, it's easier. We don't have to become heroes overnight. Just a step at a time, meeting each thing that comes up, seeing it's not as dreadful as it appeared, discovering we have the strength to stare it down. Courage. Eleanor, overcoming herself in many ways. That was in her feelings. Esther, walking into that chamber, not knowing if it meant death. And you know the way the story unfolds. Esther goes in, and the king extends that scepter and says, you know, Esther, what can I do for you? And it's at this point she reveals that she is Jewish and the plight of her people and asks for the king's help, and he grants it. And Haman, the vicious anti-Semite, gets his comeuppance at the end. You know, it's said that if you can save one life, you've saved the whole world. This is a woman who saved the life of thousands. She did the right thing. She was a person of courage. There's also that statement that her cousin makes, you know, who knows? But that God has made you queen for just such a time as this. I find that a very challenging thought. Have you ever felt that maybe you're here because God has something for you to do? Peter Gomes, up at Harvard, the late Peter Gomes, tells of meeting a woman who was in her 90s, and he was very impressed with her, and he asked her, you know, what did you do to, you know, live into your 90s? What do you give as credit for that? She said, time. But then she said, you know, I think God still must have something for me to do. And I've run across a lot of older people who have said just that. Hey, I'm still around. I don't know why. But maybe God has something for me to do. Who knows but you were made queen for just a moment as this. Have you ever thought that perhaps you live in Southbury in this time and not in some other place and time? Because God has a project for you to do right now. And I suspect you have to search your own heart to see if you are being asked to do something right now, in this place and this time. Esther, she did the right thing. She was the right person at the right time. A woman of courage. You know, the movie they made about Southbury back in 1937? What's the name of it? Home of the Brave. Home of the Brave. That's our calling today, to be courageous like Esther. Amen.